WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. It is Friday, March 18th, 2016. That's right, the day after St. Paddy's Day. Hopefully you guys had a fantastic one. We plan on closing out your work week with a bang. Here on today's show, you will get a chance to, of course, indulge into tourney talk. The NCAA men's basketball tourney day one is officially in the books. Of course, the Michigan State men's basketball team will play later on today, 2:50 to be exact, opening up its tourney run against Middle Tennessee. All right, so we'll give you guys a preview of that game. We'll recap the madness that ensued during yesterday's tourney action. We'll also give you a preview of the Michigan and Notre Dame game. You don't want to miss that. And also on today's show, after our second break, we will talk a little high school basketball. I was actually out at the Breslin Center and got a chance to cover the Ithaca semifinal game, the girls basketball team making its deepest run in program history. You'll get to hear from head coach Jesse Rayburn as her Yellow Jackets came oh so short of possibly competing in the state championship game. You don't want to miss that. We'll also have Brett's Bonehead Moves from our own Brett Cast and Reflection Friday also on tap. Be a part of today's show by simply calling in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, we begin with an NCAA tourney update. The first day of March Madness is officially in the books. And if your bracket is still perfect, you are one lucky man, woman, boy, or child. All right, according to Yahoo, ESPN.com, and NCAA.com, 99% of brackets are already busted. All right, the 12 and 11 seeds shine yesterday. 12 seed, Yale. Top 5 seed, Baylor. 12 seed University of Arkansas, Little Rock, beat Purdue in double overtime. And 11 seed Wichita State beat 6 seed Arizona. And 11 seed Gonzaga topped number 6 seed Seton Hall. Again, we'll have plenty tourney talk for you. Of course, Michigan State plays their first game today against 15 seed Middle Tennessee. Tip-off is set for 2:45 p.m. out in St. Louis. If Michigan State wins today, they will face the winner of Dayton and Syracuse on Sunday. So we'll give you guys a preview of that one. You don't want to miss that. Also, the Michigan State women's basketball team currently underway against 13 seed Belmont in the NCAA women's basketball tourney. Currently leading 34-30 at the half. All right, Ariel Powers has 8 points at the half, while center Jasmine Hines leads the team with 9. If MSU advances, they will play the winner of Mississippi State and Chattanooga. Number 11 seed Michigan in the back to the men's NCAA tourney bracket. Number 11 seed Michigan takes on number 6 seed Notre Dame at Barclays Center tonight out in BK, Brooklyn. Stand up. Tip off is set for 9:40 p.m. on CBS. The Wolverines are coming fresh off a 67-62 win over Tulsa in the first four. The Irish finished tied for 5th place in the ACC despite having one of the best offenses in the nation. As I mentioned to start the show, Ypsilanti Arbor Prep routed Ithaca 72-44 in a Class C state semifinal game at the Breslin Center yesterday afternoon. The Yellow Jackets, a really remarkable run for this team, though. Quite the run this year. Again, the deepest tourney run ever for this squad. The furthest they've gotten in a respective girls' basketball season. Caleb Bells for the Ithaca Yellow Jackets had 16 points and 7 boards, while junior Maddie Brock added 11 points. In just a second, you will get to hear from Jesse Rayburn as I got a chance to chat with her about the incredible run from her team this year. But congratulations to Ypsi Arbor Prep, a really, really, really good team. In some high school girls basketball action, I also want to give you guys an update that the Class A semifinal between 23-3 St. John's and the 22-1 Detroit Martin Luther King Crusaders is currently underway. Tip-off was actually set for 1 p.m. at the Breslin Center. Now, Detroit MLK is looking to get back in the state finals after making four consecutive appearances from 2003 to 2006. The Detroit Pistons are looking to avoid a third consecutive loss tonight as they tip off against the Sacramento Kings at 7:30 p.m. in Auburn Hills. At 34-34, the Pistons are currently a half game behind the Chicago Bulls for the last playoff spot in the East. And the Detroit Red Wings, fresh off their victory against the Columbus Blue Jackets, they will head to Florida tomorrow for a tough matchup with the Panthers, who rank second in the Eastern Conference. Face-off for that one is set for 7 p.m. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and be a part of today's show, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to facebook.com/currentsports. Shoot us a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves. Or, hey, you can even tweet me on Twitter, of course, at AlMartinWKAR. But if you don't want to tweet me, at least follow me, all right? Without further ado, how about we start the show?
I feel bad for our guys. Our guys fought hard and worked really hard to be in a great position in that game. And then it was, you know, kind of deja vu all over again. You know, we've seen this happen in games that we've had this year. And we've made, you know, we've made improvements in those areas, but it came back to bite us. It was interesting. Somebody asked me the question in the media 2 days ago and said, "You have fixed your turnover problem." And I just said, you know, you never fix something that's an issue. You improve, you get better, but it always lingers. And for us, it was unfortunate. You know, we had the game. We make some free throws. We take care of the basketball. Even with him making those plays, you know, we finished this off and advanced to the next round. But give him credit. They played hard. They were very, very resilient. And Hagans made a lot of big, big shots.
Yeah, I was going to say, and in fairness, some of the shots Hagans made, I mean, those are – highlight real types of plays that'll be played forever and ever in NCAA tournament history.
Yeah, he was big time tonight, and we knew that, and we respected him. And you have to take up his space, and you can't give him angles. And a handful of those shots were just unbelievable. So, you know, give him credit. There's no doubt 2 years, you know, ago, if we could say we'd be in this position, we, you know, we'd be excited about it as we built, you know, our program and look forward to, you know, even better days.
Coach Painter, thank you for some time here.
All right, thank you.
Welcome to this afternoon's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, always have been. And what you just heard was, of course, the voice of Mr. Matt Painter, the head coach of the Purdue men's basketball team. Purdue going out in the first round of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. I don't know who saw that one coming. I for sure didn't. I mean, after watching that team and the run they were able to make in the Big Ten tournament, going all the way to the championship game and really giving Michigan State a run for its money. I never would have thought that what Arkansas Little Rock would beat the Boilermakers. 85-83, double OT. Fun game. Fun game from start to finish in that one. And, you know, it's just so surprising, though. You know, because this is a team that has so much size. You mentioned guys like A.J. Hammonds, Isaac Haas. They are a matchup problem. But, man, Little Rock, Josh Hagans, had 31 points. He was a man amongst boys yesterday. And this is what you get with the tournament, though. This is why I love the NCAA tournament. Because when you look at it, you know, all these teams who are used to just playing in their respective conferences, going against competition that have seen them before, going against the same style of play, all of a sudden you have a little less than a week to prepare for a matchup relatively unknown. Without a doubt. And that team doesn't know your strengths or weaknesses. They're trying to do everything they can to scout you, looking at film. But you have just a small period of time to prepare for a team who you don't normally see on a day-by-day, game-by-game basis. And, hey, it happens. It's the tournament. I'm sure everyone's bracket is in the dumps. And a shout-out to our fantastic team here at Current Sports because, you know, in our headliners, I didn't even know that until I started reading the script. But, again, according to Yahoo, ESPN.com, and NCAA.com, 99% of brackets are already busted. So, yeah, hey, we saw this cup. This happens every single year, okay? You fill out a bracket. We always have upsets that happen in the first weekend, and your brackets are already in the trash. And I said that this year is particularly insane because you don't have that juggernaut that you look at and say, okay, if they don't win the championship, then something's wrong, all right? Because anybody can be beaten. This year, there's so much parity. You hear that word a lot when discussing this year in the men's basketball tournament. It's crazy. So, again, as I mentioned in our headliners, 12 seed Yale getting its very first NCAA tourney win. How cool was that to watch, huh? I actually picked that, not to toot my own horn, but toot. A lot of people picked that upset, though. Yale to top Baylor. A lot of people saw that one coming. So even though it wasn't a surprise to a lot of people. 12 seed, again, University of Arkansas, Little Rock, they top Purdue again in double OT. 11 seed, Wichita State, topping 6 seed, Arizona, and Gonzaga over Seton Hall. And I really thought that this was a Seton Hall team that could have made a nice run after winning their respective tourney championship last week. I really thought that they could have made a solid run in the tourney. But, hey, that's what you get with the NCAA tournament. It's so unpredictable. And later on today, again, around 2:50 p.m., 2:45 to be exact, the Michigan State men's basketball team will start its shining moment as they take on Middle Tennessee in the very first game of the tournament. So, hey, this is what Izzo does. Really looking forward to checking out that game out in St. Louis. And Michigan, also, they get underway tonight as well, taking on Notre Dame. I don't have Michigan beating Notre Dame. They're playing a really good Notre Dame team, a 6-seed Notre Dame team that can attack you from a lot of ways. So that's going to be a fun game to watch, though, as well. And, again, I want to give you guys an update on the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament as Susie Merchant and her squad are underway right now. 4-seed Michigan State taking on 13-seed Belmont. It's a close one right now. Michigan State is on top, though, a 5-point lead, 40-35, with 6:31 left to play in the third quarter. So, again, we'll keep you guys updated as the show moves along. Let's invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports from Nollins, my man Isaac Constance. How you doing? How's your bracket looking, dude?
My bracket is doing okay. You know, if you got to check in, there would be a few maybe bits of high cholesterol and things like that here and there. But besides that, you're in pretty good health. So I did have Arizona advancing to my Elite Eight. That was the big blow that I suffered last night. But I thought that game would even be a close one. I really struggled picking Arizona or Wichita. I thought that was the toughest matchup that either of those teams that would face up until the Elite Eight. I'm not crazy about Miami. So I did have that one. I also had Yale over Baylor, so I was happy with that. I had nobody expected Purdue
nobody.
To go down.
Nobody.
Because when you have that type of size as a big conference team, that's what you expect that the lower mid-majors cannot match. And somehow Arkansas Little Rock just got around that, and it was just fantastic outside shooting.
Yeah, watching Higgins. That game, Higgins was so good. I was watching that game. And, you know, Purdue, they had like a double-digit lead with about 5 minutes left. And all of a sudden, Higgins just got hot. I mean, he hits two just clutch shots. The one that sent into overtime was like from Steph Curry range, where he just completely just pulls up on the guy, bottom. And then in overtime, he just kind of just took over. Just took
he
over
did.
The game. You know, and how about that shot where he's like, he's fading to his left on the left side of the basket. And I think it banked in, I want to say.
Yep.
I'm sitting there saying, okay, the kid's just feeling it right now. But his 31 points is the reason why Arkansas Little Rock was able to make that comeback and eventually pull out that game. But again, I thought Purdue, though, shot itself in the foot, though. When looking at that game, Matt Painter and that team totally abandoned what has made them such a good team this year. You mentioned that size, Isaac.
Exactly.
Throw the ball down low to Hammonds. Let the kid do work. I couldn't believe how they didn't feed him the ball.
You're spot on. Matt Painter, he didn't shoot that team in the foot yesterday. He shot him in the head.
Exactly.
I mean,
dude.
Matt Painter, what Purdue has is size. Size. And I thought Swanigan was fouled out for the last three periods of that game. He just totally went away from him, went away from Haas, for no reason whatsoever. It's the biggest misconception in basketball right now that when a team goes small, like Arkansas Little Rock did, then you have to match them.
You don't.
Play to your strengths. And Purdue's biggest strength, they've got nothing exceptional about their guard play. Actually, one of the biggest problems throughout that game was the lack of a true point guard.
Mm-hmm.
But they still went to a four-guard system, and obviously it didn't work.
No, not at all. And again, they just totally – I don't even remember seeing Isaac Haas even on the basketball court in the fourth – well, in the waning moments of that second half, in the overtime, in the double overtime. I barely even remember him on the court. I saw A.J. Hammonds out there, and he was just basically just a filler in the paint, not even feeding the guy the basketball. So – hey, Purdue goes out. I actually had Purdue advancing all the way into the Elite Eight. When the bracket first came out, I really thought that we would see Purdue and Michigan State Part 3. They've been two great games this year between the Spartans and the Boilermakers. The first one, of course, Michigan State lost in overtime by 1 point. The second one was the tourney title game last weekend. That was a fun one to watch on national TV. And I really thought we could have seen another matchup possibly in the Elite Eight out in Chicago in the Midwest portion of the bracket. But they go out now. Arkansas, Little Rock, stunning everyone. They will take on Iowa State tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So I also want to invite right now, again, we want to encourage you all to call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Having a lot of fun on today's show, and we're going to invite right now also two of our outstanding production assistants. We've got Connor Hayes in the house, as well as my man Jason Ruff. Guys, how you doing?
I'm doing great, other than my bracket. I had Purdue going to the Elite Eight as well. So
did you, Connor? That's,
yeah, that
that's
was
tough.
Crushing. With all that size, I still can't believe they lost. But otherwise, it's going pretty well.
Really? Did you call the other upsets that we mentioned? Or no?
No. It's
yeah.
That's
I mean, it was so tough.
Good.
Yeah. Just, did you have Yale win?
No major damage. I had Baylor winning, but losing the next game. I had a couple small losses.
Yeah, that's how it is, man.
I'm sitting at the 75th percentile or so.
Okay, that's not too bad. That's not too bad at all. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm not doing too good. Michigan State hockey got eliminated last night in overtime. My bracket's in the tank. I'm sitting at 11.9%. Brett Cass and I are actually tied in our respective group. But here's what's killing me. Al, remind me, never, ever pick Purdue to go deep ever again.
Yeah,
please.
Well, you know, it's so tough because I always say this about Matt Painter. He can't win the big ones. You know what I mean? But you still expect them to get out the first round of the tourney. You know what I mean?
Arkansas Little Rock,
exactly. I mean, come on, man. I don't know. That's puzzling.
Here are the two things that are killing me. I had both Purdue and Baylor in the Elite Eight. That's what's killing me right here.
Okay, yeah, your bracket's done.
That's
Jason.
Done. That's done. In the trash.
Yeah,
Jason.
I'm just.
it's tourney time though. I mean, and not that our listeners care, but everyone's bracket is in the trash. You know what I mean? Everyone already is sitting there looking at their bracket and saying, "Oh my goodness."
One exception now, and that
who is that?
I gave the anecdote yesterday. My mom's bracket, who was first in the nation or tied for that. My mom again. Only has one pick long.
Really?
She actually picked the Purdue upset.
No, are you kidding me?
Yes.
It doesn't make
any sense.
Props to moms, man. Yeah. She's. I need to just look at her bracket every single year.
I know. I could make some serious money if I did what she did.
I'm telling you, man. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Really.
I want to get your guys' thoughts on, of course, Michigan State's game. They play a little less than 2 hours now. 2:50 is the official tip time for Michigan State as they take on Middle Tennessee out in St. Louis. It's going to be an interesting game, I think. You know, first off, man, watching Denzel Valentine play, it's always a joy to see him play. And I think, really, I'm not sure when the deadline is when it comes to this National Player of the Year voting, but it hasn't hit yet. Now, really think if Denzel comes out and plays like Denzel Valentine has played all year, he can really add to that argument that he deserves to be the National Player of the Year. But, you know, it's so interesting, though, when looking at the squad, because Middle Tennessee, 24-9 on the year, hasn't won an NCAA game since 1989. It's been that long. But has a bit of experience against higher-level competition. The Blue Raiders, got to love that mascot, right? Beat Auburn in overtime and have won six in a row. They are a hot team right now, six in a row entering the tourney. And like Michigan State, they did win their conference tournament. The head coach is Kermit Davis. Got a chance to check out you know, his press conference yesterday talking about how in awe he is of what Tom Izzo has been able to build here at Michigan State, and how Michigan State, you know, and just looking at what how Tom Izzo coaches. I found one thing particularly interesting when watching Kermit Davis's press conference yesterday, guys, and he just talked about how Tom Izzo, and this is just, you know, there's a method to Tom Izzo's madness, because we see him just completely going off on the sidelines and, you know, giving it to his players. But what I found what I find particularly interesting about Izzo is that he can coach his players hard, but he gets the most out of them in doing that. Because, trust me, in the pre-Madonna era that we live in today with today's modern athlete, there are a lot of athletes out there that if they had a Tom Izzo in their ear, challenge him like that, they would either bite back or crawl up like a turtle into their shell. You know what I mean? But that you got to be tough to play for a Tom Izzo team. But what Kermit Davis talked about was how Tom Izzo can coach his best player tough, and that player will respond. And he's always harped on Denzel Valentine since he first donned a green and white jersey. He's always coached Denzel tough because he knew that Denzel Valentine could be a pretty special player, could always be a special player. And the thing I love about Denzel is when he's getting that ear full of Tom Izzo, he just sits there, takes it, and says, all right, I know what I got to do. But I just found it, you know, just very glaring how Kermit, I mean, just in awe sometimes about how, you know, coaches, and no matter what level, they are just in awe of what Tom Izzo is able to do. So a mutual respect between Coach Davis and Coach Izzo. It's going to be a fun game, I think, though.
Yeah, Isaac? They should be, too. I mean, Tom Izzo, the other player who I would point to is Bryn Forbes. Last year, Bryn Forbes, of course, started off the season in the starting five and was later put on the bench. And it wasn't until that when he really elevated his game. At first, he was missing quite a few wide-open threes, shots that we all knew were very much so in his repertoire, correct?
Exactly. And, you know,
and Tom Izzo just was hard on him, and you thought, maybe this isn't the right strategy.
And, you know, Bryn Forbes was soft, too, Isaac. When he first got here, Bryn wasn't a guy to get in your face. You know, he wasn't a guy that was going to dive on the floor for a loose ball. That all changed, though, once he came here.
And that's the thing. Because of that demeanor, you thought, okay, maybe Izzo's strategy isn't the right one here. In retrospect, because hindsight's 20/20, that was the right strategy because Bryn Forbes has evolved as a player so dramatically, and you can directly credit that to Tom Izzo.
Right, very, very true. So to break down this Middle Tennessee team, again, this isn't a team that you see on a normal basis, on a normal Michigan State men's basketball schedule. That's why, as I stated, that's what makes the tourney so fun. You get these unusual matchups with so little time to prep. Middle Tennessee sophomore, Giddy Potts, he leads the nation in making 50%. Of his three-pointers. Leads the nation. So Giddy Potts, love that name. How
great
fun.
Name.
That's a great name.
I was about to jump
in. That's a fun. So Giddy Potts, again, leads the nation. 50% of his three-pointers. And Michigan State senior, of course, Bryn Forbes, as we mentioned. Second at 48%. So you get the two best three-point shooters, I should say, in the nation on this stage. How fun is that going to be, Jason?
There's going to be a lot of highlights in that game, I tell you what, right now. And I think it is going to come down who's going to get hot first and who can maintain that streak of hotness throughout the game. Is it going to be Forbes or is it going to be our man, Buddy Potts?
But I will say this, though. Bryn Forbes, he's got something to prove, though. Because in that Big Ten tournament, Bryn Forbes didn't play well.
14 points in the last two games.
Exactly. Let's just call it like it is. Again, he shoots right now from the three-point land, 48%. He was cold in the Big Ten tourney, 4 of 17 from long range this past weekend. Denzel Valentine, Matt Costello on the interview podium alongside Forbes said there was no question Forbes is the best in the country, so his teammates had his back. Quote, he's not allowed to answer. Added Costello, he can't be too cocky. Talking about Bryn Forbes, when they asked him about his 3-point shooting woes, his team, Bryn Forbes didn't even get a chance to respond before Costello was like, "Hey, he's all right, okay? He's all right. He's going to get out of this funk. So I found that pretty cool during yesterday's press conference as well. But Forbes has a target on his back right now because with Forbes being, in my opinion, the best shooter in the nation, it was just a matter of time before the scouting became better on him and teams were going to start to hone in on him very early in the game. What I saw from Maryland and also what I saw from Purdue was they made sure to get out in transition on Forbes because he loves that transition three-pointer. They made sure to stop that by getting back after any made bucket or missed bucket for that fact and stop those transition threes. I thought it was very impressive. How Forbes responds to that defense and having that target on his back is going to be telling of what type of a player he is. Jason?
But here's the thing, though, with Michigan State, they are versatile enough. If Forbes does get canceled out, they're versatile enough to still win the game regardless.
Exactly.
That's the key.
They're so deep. They're so deep that, again, you have Matt Costello, Denzel Valentine. Well, you know, Kobe Wollenman came up big in the title game against Purdue. You know, Gavin Schilling, Marvin Clark Jr. I mean, this team is so deep. So if Forbes comes out and has another bad shooting day, hey, it's not panic time, okay? Because you have so many weapons on that bench
exactly.
And with that team. Now, Middle Tennessee scored 99 points in the Conference USA semifinals and beat Old Dominion 55-53 in the tourney final. A deliberate pace, limiting fast break points is the underdog's best bet, of course, as Michigan State loves to run. Middle Tennessee is a team that doesn't like to run. They love to slow the ball down and play half-court offense, and I think that's something that it's going to be interesting to see how MSU can best that. Connor?
I think we'll be able to stop it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting, though.
Yeah, I mean,
because this is a team that loves to slow it down. Michigan State loves to get out on the break. So you got a clash of differences here. But again, you know, Michigan State is so good right now. They're playing the best basketball in the nation. They're not losing this game.
The line's at 17. No. I'd bet if it was 30 in favor on Michigan State. So, yeah, this is a game that, Jason said, even if Bryn Forbes isn't on his night, then Michigan State should still win this handily. And all credit for getting here if you're talking about Middle Tennessee, but facing this Barnes is just about the worst first-round matchup you can have, and they'll soon see that. Like you said, Giddy Potts, great three-point shooter, and then Reggie Upshaw is a pretty good point scorer as well. But it's just those two players versus an entire squad, the deepest team in the country, and that's Michigan State.
Right.
MSU is going to prevail. They're going to enforce their style of play upon Middle Tennessee, and I think we'll see this game over in 10 minutes.
All right, guys, give me a final score prediction. What are you going with, Isaac?
I'm going to go with the Spartans 86 to Middle Tennessee 58.
Oh, wow, big blowout there. Okay.
Big blowout.
Michigan State will utilize their weapons. They are as deep as the ocean floor. Similar score. I'm just going to go with Isaac's score here.
Not you just okay, knocking off his score. I like that. All right,
I'll piggyback on you.
I'll go with like 85-55.
A high score for
like
Michigan
that.
State. You guys think they're really gonna ball out and score a lot of points?
Yeah,
okay.
I think they'll pile it on.
I'm gonna say 66-52.
So low scoring.
Low scoring.
Okay.
I'm gonna say low scoring. Yeah, I'm going 66-52 Michigan State. Bit of a history lesson before we hit our first break. The schools have met just once, Michigan State winning in 1977 behind Greg Kelser, Special K, who had 18 points, 7 rebounds, and freshman, a pretty good freshman everyone knows at the time, Magic Johnson. Yeah, he had 12 points, 5 assists in that game. There's one common opponent this season. Michigan State beat Florida Atlantic in its season opener, and Middle Tennessee swept the season series from FAU in CUSA play. Also, this is the third time Michigan State has been a number 2 seed, and the first two times worked out really well. A title back in 1979 and national runner-up in 2009. The Spartans have a strong history of performing in St. Louis, beating Northern Iowa and Tennessee in 2010 to advance to the Final Four in 2010. They played in St. Louis's Final Four in 2005, losing to North Carolina in the semifinals, and advanced to the Final Four in 1999. So I don't know how superstitious you all are, but right now when looking at that bit of history, you got to feel pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
You
think? Oh, it just reinforces all of the things that we've been predicting already.
Oh, boy. Fun stuff. All right, again, Michigan State and Middle Tennessee, 2:50 p.m. should be a fun game. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll give you guys a preview of the Michigan and Notre Dame game that will take place later on tonight at 9 p.m. Also, you get to hear from head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets girls basketball team, Jessie Rayburn, as she talks about the Yellow Jackets losing to Yipsey Arbor Prep in the state semifinals yesterday. That and more on this edition of Current Sports. Welcome back to WKER's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I'll tell you what, it was a fun game down at the Breslin yesterday, at least in the beginning moments of it. In that first half, it was fun. It was certainly fun. Immediately after I got off the air yesterday, I went down the street to the Breslin Center to check out a little bit of girls' high school basketball. As, of course, the Breslin is hosting the girls and boys high school basketball semifinals and finals for the next 2 weeks. And it's actually kind of a catch-22. I always love going to the games at the Breslin and checking out the high school state championship games. It's fun. Just a fun time. But yeah, a bittersweet, though, for the Michigan State women's basketball team. They made the tourney. They're a 4 seed. Again, I want to give you guys an update on that game right now. It is heading into the fourth quarter. It's actually in the fourth. The fourth is starting right now, actually. And Michigan State, they have a 52-47 lead over Belmont. So they're still ahead. Susie Merchant and her team playing out at, I believe, Mississippi State. And they could have hosted, though, round one of the tourney, Isaac. But due to an existing contract with the Michigan High School Athletic Association signed back in 2011, they wouldn't have that that home court advantage. So even though I love the girls and boys high school basketball tourney being at the Breslin Center, it's a tradition year-round, every single year, I should say. But, man, oh, man, wouldn't that have been fun to check out the first round of the NCAA women's basketball tournament at the Breslin?
Without a doubt. Oh. And it's a significant disadvantage, too, not only because you don't have the home crowd behind you,
right,
but I can tell you from personal experience, Mississippi to Michigan, it's a hell of a long drive. Mm. So those players will be tired and all of that. So maybe that even accounts for this slow start to the tournament.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Right now, it looks as though they're extending that lead right now. They have a 12-point lead now, 59-47.
That's quick. Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? 8:47 left to play in the fourth. So maybe my browser didn't update. I'm thinking that's what that was. As soon as I hit refresh, it went immediately from 10 minutes to 8:38. So, but really hoping Susie pulls out that win. And, again, they're playing in a tough region, though. Because, of course, number one UConn also sits in that region. But going back to see how I got sidetracked there? But going back to girls' high school basketball, the Ithaca Yellow Jackets girls' basketball team, what a ride. They fell to Yipsey Arbor Prep 72-44, the final at the Breslin. And, man, oh, man, I don't know if you guys have seen Yipsey Arbor Prep this season, but, wow, my jaw was on the floor looking at how good that team is. And they're young. They're so young. I think they only had, like, what, one senior on the squad? And one player really stood out, though. I mean, she was the star. She was the best player on the floor. Her name is Nastasia Chambers. She had 24 points. I mean, and she was just unbelievable. I mean, she can pass the ball. She's got an incredible first step. I mean, she balls like a dude, Isaac. I mean, you got to check out this team. I don't know if you'll get a chance to check out any of the state championship games. Again, they advanced. So they won the semifinals against Ithaca. They advanced now to the finals. They got to that same spot last year to the semis and lost. So they were certainly foaming at the mouth to beat Ithaca. But, man, check out Nastasia Chambers. She's unbelievable. But the whole squad, really, is so good. But Ithaca really has a very good team as well. Very good team. They were led by a lot of seniors, so it was going to hurt that they're losing a lot going into next year. But they put up a fight, though. They put up a really tough fight at the very beginning of that game. And then as it went on, though, I mean, Yipsey just kind of just went along and really just kind of stuck their foot on Ithaca's throat. But 72-44, that was the final. And Ithaca, what a year, though. What a year. And you know, again, the longest run for this team ever in school history. I was actually watching on Terry Hesbrook, who is the football coach of Ithaca, and, you know, a powerhouse. powerhouse football team, one of the best football teams in all of the nation. And it's got to be – I was joking with him because I chatted with Terry before that game yesterday for the girls' basketball team, and I was talking with Terry and saying, what in the world is in the water out in Ithaca? Because you got a state championship football team. You've got a girls' basketball team that made it all the way to the Breslin this year. And the boys' basketball team can do the same this year. I mean, so impressive, so impressive. But after that loss, I got a chance to steal a couple of moments with the head coach of that Ithaca girls basketball team, Jesse Rayburn, to sort of put everything in perspective for this team. You know, even though, you know, losing is never fun, but you did get to this point. The furthest this program has ever gotten in the girls, high school girls basketball tourney. So here's what Jesse had to say.
Pre-game, we were talking about let's not settle for just getting here. You know, now after the game, we've had a couple minutes to process the situation, and it's a good feeling that we got to play here. You know, there are a lot of other teams that are sitting in the stands watching us. There are a lot of other teams that are listening on the radio, and we were the ones actually playing. That's a pretty cool feeling.
Coach, can you kind of take me into the locker room? I mean, what do you say to your team after getting so close to possibly competing for a state championship?
It was a feeling that we're not going to go back and, you know, pinpoint turnovers and pinpoint things that we could have done differently. It was more of a remember the feelings that we had leading up to this point. This feeling right here hurts, but it hurts because we played so hard and we wanted it so hard. If we didn't care, we wouldn't have this feeling right now. So,
how has this team grown over the years, Coach? And looking forward to next season, I mean, how do you grow upon what took place this year?
You know, I only coached this year for the girls, but I've watched them. I teach and I am around. I live in Ithaca, and I've watched them from ground zero and build themselves up and build their team up. And, you know, it's nice that we have a couple underclassmen that can play ball. But these girls have worked really hard and persevered through 4 years of basketball.
Competing against Arbor, Yipsey Arbor Prep, I mean, just talk about how good they are and kind of a good litmus test to see where your team is right now, right?
You know, and I think they are a great team. I know they play a lot of basketball outside the basketball season. You know, that's what we're striving to do a little bit more as a program, getting girls to play more basketball at the competitive level, not during just basketball season, but on their own, traveling AAU, traveling teams, whatever it might be.
Is that something you hope to implement this summer?
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. We have a girl that goes to a couple camps throughout the summer, but nobody who invests their time in AAU or other things where they're actually playing basketball.
Gotcha. How motivating of an experience do you think this will be for some of those players that you have coming back, being that they got a taste of this and kind of that itch to get back in future years?
I think it's a great itch. Right now our seniors have the bittersweet feeling. I think the younger girls are disappointed with how they played, you know, and that they didn't win. I think that they know that they have next year. And I think that they know the feeling of being here and what it would be like to be here again.
So now it's just not about getting here now, right? You guys have gotten here now and took it all in. It's about winning it now, right?
Yeah, you know, they got to continue working. We're losing quite a lot of talent in the senior class. Even, you know, our sixth, seventh man in, our sixth girl in was a senior today, and, you know, she took over the point guard position. And yes, we had our turnovers, but I thought she stepped in and did a pretty good job for being thrown in there.
Again, head coach of the Ithaca girls basketball team, Jesse Rayburn. And, yeah, I haven't even addressed the elephant in the room in that game. Brooklyn Doloff, one of the team's best players, senior point guard. She went down early with a severely sprained ankle, and it was really tough to watch her on the sideline as the trainers tended to her and just tears. Being a senior, and you get all the way to the state semifinals, and her, such a catalyst for this team, sitting over and going out early in that game with the sprained ankle. And again, to really put her impact in perspective, Ithaca trailed Arbor Prep by just 1 point when Doloff got injured. Yeah, really, really tough. So I hated seeing that. And then she was on the podium after the game and, you know, was asked to kind of give her thoughts and feelings on this being her final game and getting injured and what she's going to miss, and she immediately could not hold back the tears. But congratulations to this squad for getting to that stage, as Coach Rayburn addressed. I mean, a lot of teams don't get that far, folks. There's so many teams sitting back, you know, listening to it on the radio and watching updates via Twitter, not able to play in a state semifinal game. But Ithaca got that honor this year. So great season by the Yellow Jackets, and hats off to them, without a doubt. And also, got to let this be known, Detroit MLK is taking on our other local team who is in the state semifinals right now, that being the St. John's Red Wings. And right now I'm looking at Brian Calloway, the lead prep sports writer for the Lansing State Journal, on his Twitter page. He of course, is covering that game, I believe. Well, no, James Edwards is actually of LSJ, and he retweeted a tweet from James saying that MLK has a 24-17 lead over the St. John's Red Wings, and also says that the Red Wings were held to just one field goal, just one, in the second quarter. So the Red Wings also playing in the Breslin right now. Again, that tip-off was set at 1 p.m. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back again, we will give you guys a preview of that Michigan and Notre Dame game. Again, call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527. We will also invite current sports production assistant Brett Cass to hit us with Brett's bonehead moves. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Just got an update via ESPN. If Tom Izzo's squad wins today, he ties John Wooden for the seventh most coaching wins in the NCAA tournament. That's pretty big company, John Wooden. Oh, my gosh, man.
Yeah, the guy who won 10 championships in 11 years. I'd say that's a fair guy to stand right next to.
The man who's widely considered the greatest basketball coach of all time. Yeah, without it. Do you think John is the greatest of all time? You know, Phil Jackson's name is tossed around in that conversation a lot as well. You talk about, you know, Red Auerbach, you know, and there's so many coach, you know, so many great basketball coaches. What do you think, who is the greatest coach of all time? What do you think, Isaac?
I think you have to separate it into college and pros. I think there's no dispute, really, that John Wooden is the greatest college coach we've seen. Now, Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K, of course, also you can make a debate for him, possibly, as he keeps climbing that ladder to the total win record. But I still like Wooden there. In the pros, I like Greg Popovich. In terms of doing more with less, Greg Popovich just assembled a squad of not superstars and kept winning. Phil Jackson always had Michael Jordan or Shaq or Kobe Bryant.
But Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili is pretty good, though.
But that's not Michael Jordan, Kobe, and
Shaq.
Yeah,
but still, arguably the greatest forward of all time. Three Hall of Famers on his squad, definitely. So, maybe four when not with Kawhi Leonard.
Well, that's
so
true.
Yeah, you can make that argument. We go tit for tat here, but okay.
Who do you think?
But all time, no, Greg Popovich of
all time? All time, I think Greg Popovich is a genius.
Wow.
And the longevity with that team's been good.
Yeah.
It's really unmatched.
Okay. All right. I dig that. I like that take. Actually, Isaac, all right. And Phil, you know, Phil, my goodness, Phil has so many rings, and Red Auerbach, so many rings. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you could go on and on about this debate. But again, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Also, want to mention this because this was kind of a scary moment during yesterday's NCAA tournament. But Virginia coach Tony Bennett, oh, boy, he suffered from dehydration during the game, which caused him to collapse near the end of the team's first round NCAA tourney game against Hampton yesterday. So he just got lightheaded. He's been battling a cold, I think, and you know, that attributed to it. He was kneeling down watching the game. Then he tried to get up too fast, got lightheaded, blacked out for a minute, and he actually had to be taken in the locker room for just to kind of just down Powerade left and right. So it's good to see that Tony is doing well, though. That was a very scary moment on the sidelines of that game. Call in, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to our phone lines right now. One line, one. We've got our dear friend and great caller, Michael from Saginaw. Mike, how you doing, my man?
How you doing, my man? Let me get this out of the way. Saginaw High did lose to Midland 60-56 up here on Wednesday.
Oh, did they? So, oh, so no, yeah, Saginaw won't be advancing.
It won't be advancing. And you know what? The Midland team haven't been to the district. They haven't won a district since 1979, so I say go ahead and give it to them.
I know, right? I'm sure if you were in charge, Mike, I'm sure they would have that piece of hardware.
All right, 1979, man, that's 37 years.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You see how long that is, but I'm just laughing about that, 37 years. Always, because I go on, I look at the MHA basketball site with second half with Jeff Kimberly, who writes that. Mm-hmm. And stuff, and he filled in with little information bits about the teams and everything. So it's really neat. It's
that
really
is a
neat.
Long time. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize it's been that long. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you think about the tourney, Mike?
I think about that the game is going to be a good, real good game because Michigan State is they just got too much offense. Mm-hmm. I like it because they can create and get their shot, so it's probably going to be a pretty boring game to watch once Michigan State get going.
Right, yeah, once they get going, I think it'll be a blow. I mean, we all predicted blowouts here on the show today, but it's just good to see the Spartans just playing in the tourney, man. I love them. I love watching them every single year.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what happened to the girls' team. Why they in Mississippi? Why they in Starkville?
The reason that they moved the location there is because an existing contract with the Michigan High School Athletic Association, because, you know, the Breslin Center, they host the girls and boys high school basketball championships. So that contract was signed in 2011. And what confuses me about the story, though, is that if it was signed in 2011, why was it already pushed through that Michigan State would possibly even be a site, knowing that this contract already existed? So I don't know what the confusion was. I'm confused about the confusion, if that makes any sense. But the reason why that Michigan State was not able to host that first round, would have been really cool to see it, was because of that existing contract with the MHSAA.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. Let me talk some situational. What about USC and Providence last night? When our players taking the ball out and everything, I noticed that I know how Tom Izzo run his plays from the sidelines and underneath the basket, and they have open shots. Is that just good offense or that just bad defense? What's your take on it?
As far as which play?
The play for Providence and USC.
I didn't see that.
The final inbounds play that won Providence the game. Did you not?
I didn't see that highlight. No, yeah, I did not see that highlight.
I caught that. It was, Mike, in my opinion, it's good offense because you want to prolong the inbounding of the pass as long as you possibly can. Then the defense has more of a chance to fall asleep, get caught up in the confusion, and that's exactly what happened. Great play by Providence. Rodney Bullock was wide open under the rim, and I thought Ed Cooley just did a masterful job right there.
I'm going to check that out. How in the heck did I miss that? I know it was a one-point win. I didn't see the play, though.
Yeah, fantastic game.
Yeah, wow. Goodness, I definitely had to check out the highlights on that one. All right, hey, my man, Mike. Oh, you got something else?
What do you think about Sean Miller coaching? He was sweating so much, and he was sweating his whole shirt out.
You're stealing Brett's thunder. That was part of one of his bonehead moves. We're going to actually talk about that coming up, so stay tuned.
I do that, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Always
a great
call. There.
He stole Brett's thunder a little bit. Right now we have live in our studio my man, Brett Cass, outstanding production assistant for WKAR's Current Sports. Brett, first off, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right. You know, I could be doing better. Like Jason said earlier, 11.9% right now in my bracket. I picked Duke losing. I just thought, like, I would be the – like, no one really, you know, makes fun of me about it, I guess. But if I had picked Duke – or if I had picked a UNC Wilmington to win,
like,
and they did, I look like the biggest genius in the world. But, I picked them to lose, and then I picked – Baylor in my Elite Eight. I had Purdue in my Elite Eight. Just things aren't going very well.
So your bracket's busted just like 99% of the nation.
I'm in
right
last
now.
In every league I'm in, every group, yeah.
that's a toughie, too. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And I'm surprised Isaac hasn't called me out on this. I really thought he was going to lead the show with this. But my Florida Gulf Coast blunder, of course, I wanted to be the smart guy in the room and say, oh, yeah, Florida Gulf Coast. Better watch out. They're going to knock off the first time in tourney history. Number one seed is going to go down in that first game. Oh, that didn't happen, though.
Well, Florida Gulf Coast, audacity.
At halftime, it
was close at half.
Exactly.
That's
why I didn't call you out. Because also, my Utah mm-hmm. versus Fresno State floundered. That was a bad pick. Fresno State lost, but it was a good game, just like Florida Gulf Coast versus UNC. So I figured, We'll let bygones be bygones and both take a mutual loss.
I was shocked, though. You love to call me out when I'm wrong. Oh, Isaac will milk it. So thank you for not doing that today, Isaac.
You're welcome, sir.
All right, back to Brett, though. Brett, we love this segment because it's a good way to end the week. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It kind of just eases the tension going into the weekend, dude, of all the hard sports talk, which is always, you know, not that that's not fun, but we love to end it on a fun segment. And you always go through the sports world and pick out a few, quote unquote, boneheads, just guys who just, well, you just sit there and say, what in the world were you thinking? So here we go. It's time for Brett's Bonehead Moves.
That's right, you clumsy bonehead.
All right, Brett, what you got for us this week, my man?
All right, well, first up, like Mike from Saginaw had said, Mark, right?
Yeah, Mike. Mike.
You know, Arizona coach Sean Miller obviously was probably pretty nervous with his team down, and they ended up losing. Completely sweat through his shirt. If you Google this, it literally looks like they like dumped a whole bottle or bucket of water on him. It was really
hilarious,
really bad. See-through shirt. He had no undershirt on.
Dude's got an issue, man. I've never seen anyone sweat that bad.
I don't even know what to say. It was.
He had to change it at halftime.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, changed at halftime. Yeah, it was. It was ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Another one of the upsets from yesterday. Baylor lost to 12 seed Yale. And after the game, Baylor forward Taurean Prince was asked about how Yale was able to out-rebound Baylor so bad. And his answer was absolutely amazing.
You go up and grab the ball off the rim when it comes off. And then you grab it with two hands. And you come down with it. And that's considered a rebound. So they got more of those than we did.
Absolutely, kind of giving a lesson on what rebounding is, the definition of rebounding.
That is surely a bonehead move. That's just being a bonehead to the press. Like, come on,
I
dude.
I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was hilarious.
It was funny. It
makes
was
the headlines.
Funny.
In the NBA, Matt Barnes, the Memphis Grizzlies, and John Henson of the Milwaukee Bucks got in a bit of a scuffle, which led Henson being ejected. Then seconds later, Barnes also got ejected, and then he ran down the tunnel after Henson and reportedly went into the locker room, the Bucks locker room, trying to find Henson after the game, and both had to be escorted out of the stadium by security after the game ended. Some anger management problems there.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I like that one, too, though.
Oh, yeah. And last but not least, the This Is SportsCenter commercials are always fantastic. They're always hilarious. The latest one is Jordan Spieth in the cafeteria attempting to eat macaroni and cheese with his caddy standing right behind him, giving him some advice on which utensil to use.
Let me see the spoon. Actually, give me the fork. Thanks. I don't know. What do you think?
That cheese looks a little saucy. I'd go a spoon.
All right. Yeah, spoon.
That's great.
If you get a chance to watch the commercial, it's hilarious. But what's even funnier is that the shoot took about 2 hours, and during that, apparently Spieth consumed about 51 spoonfuls of macaroni and cheese, which he said was nothing compared to the one time he did a Coca-Cola commercial and apparently consumed about 18 Coca-Colas.
That's a lot of Coke. I know he's bouncing off the walls during that shoot. Oh, my. If you haven't seen the Spieth This Is SportsCenter, I didn't see it until Brett showed it to me before we took the air today. It is hilarious. And I believe one of the SportsCenter anchors, he's like watching Jordan
Spieth. He was watching. He was sitting there behind, and he was kind of like watching. And after Spieth decides to go with the fork, I believe it is. Oh, no, the spoon. He goes with the spoon because it's a little saucy. Grabs the spoon, and then the other guy puts his fork back and grabs the spoon too, copying what Spieth's doing.
Oh, that's great stuff. Brett, thank you so much. How can people read your work? Also, follow you on Twitter. Pub yourself, my man.
Yeah, well, I actually host a show on The Impact. It's 88.9 FM. We have a sports show every Sunday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. talking Michigan State sports. We have a packed show, obviously talking a lot of March Madness this week. So tune into 88.9 FM, WDBM East Lansing from 10 to 11 on Sundays. And I also work for Focal Point, which is the student broadcast news thing, but that goes on YouTube. So
gotta love you. Do a great job. Thank you so much, Brett. All right, well, 5 minutes left here in the show. We also love to close out the week with a little segment we entitled Reflection Friday, where we reflect on the week that was here on WKAR's Current Sports, bring you some of our favorite moments, our favorite stories, and maybe a few stories that we didn't get a chance to chat about. Here we go. All right, Reflection Friday. Well, it was a fun week. fun week here on the show, and we're going to remind you all that next week we'll be back at it on Current Sports TV. I'll be sitting down with Dale Beard, assistant coach for the Everett boys basketball team. I only have one reflection, though. I want to give a big shout-out to that team, the Everett boys basketball team, for knocking off top dog East Lansing earlier this week in the boys basketball playoffs, regional final. You know, East Lansing going, 21-1 to finish the year, entering that game undefeated, of course. And a great year from Steve Finnemore and his squad. I really thought they could have made it to the Breslin Center, a very talented team. But, you know, they always say in basketball, it's so tough to beat a team three times. Everett has had lost the first two meetings during the regular season. But this third time, they changed a few things defensively and got the dub. So congratulations to the Vikings. Let's go to Jason Ruff right now. What are you reflecting on, my man?
Well, it was not a good night last night if you were a hockey fan. Michigan State falling in overtime, the Ohio State Buckeyes. The tears on Jake Hildebrand's face is just incredible.
Tough year for MSU hockey.
10-23-4 overall, their worst record since 2008-2009. Michigan State 0-3 in the Big Ten tournament. I mean, Al, this is only going to increase the calls for Tom Anastas to be removed from his position. In my opinion, that's probably going to be unlikely. But honestly, whoever is or isn't behind the bench next season at Munn is irrelevant. The Spartans need to go back to the drawing board, figure out what went wrong this season, and figure out how to bring fun, exciting, consistent, and winning hockey to East Lansing. That is what's needed more than anything else.
Oh, that was a hot take from Jason Ruff. Man, I felt the anger in that. That was a very passionate. And you did a great job of, you kind of recapped kind of the season. Didn't you wrote up a piece, didn't
yep.
you, Jason?
Yep.
How can people read that?
On Impact 89 FM Sports, the game recap is up. The season summary / tie-up recap will be up in the coming weeks.
Very passionate take. Really appreciate that, Jason. I totally, totally agree with you 100%. Brett, what you got, my man?
So on Sunday, March 13th, it was the 10th anniversary of that party the Duke lacrosse team had 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and that whole situation happened. So ESPN released a 30 for 30. They always do a fantastic job. I think it's about an hour and 45. It's called Fantastic Lies, ESPN 30 for 30 on the Duke lacrosse case. It's really, really well done.
It's
one thing
great
that I like about it, this 30 for 30, is the director ended up getting some of the parents to interview, which was, I think, really great interviews, kind of hearing the parents' side of it, because they were kind of, you know, behind the scenes on a lot of it. So I thought it was a really, really well done 30 for 30.
I sat back and watched it 2 days ago when I was glued to my television. I watched that in the 1985 30 for 30, and it was brilliant. Connor, got anything, Duke?
Oh, yeah. I'm going with White Sox first baseman Adam LaRoche walking away from a $13 million contract to spend more time with his son.
He walked away from $13 million?
Yeah, apparently his 14-year-old son, Drake LaRoche, was hanging out around the clubhouse too much. So their team president, Kenny Williams, came in and he told them they needed to dial it back. He told them two times. LaRoche just decided to retire instead.
Walk away from 13. Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of moolah. Okay, interesting. All right, and yep. Isaac, what do you got?
Yeah, I've got to go with two. I think Gonzaga's beating of Seton Hall was absolutely phenomenal. 2 7-foot players on that squad. Just about rounding up, of course, between Wiltshire and Sabonis. But that was great. It was sad seeing the tragic decline of Isaiah Whitehead, of course, who finished with 4 of 24 shooting. Mm. About as bad as you can get. And then mm-hmm. Yale over Baylor. That's the fourth time, I believe, in the last 6 years that an Ivy League school was won in the first round.
Very happy for
Mekhi Mason.
Yeah, very happy for Yale. Great, great, great season for them. All right, folks. Well, we are out of time. And final score, 74-60. Michigan State moves on. Congratulations to Susie Merchant and MSU women's basketball team. Have a great weekend, folks. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Be easy, people.